Read on to chapter 2, part of 3. Second adhyaya, part of 3. Jara jivat atmana utpati parihara. Defeat of atheistic conclusions on the theories of the origin of elements and the origin of jiva. Right, so they're first saying that the last one is cause of creation, now this is where the jivas and the material elements are from. Pada 3, Prakashika. In the second pada, were revealed the fallacies present in the theories of they who say Pradhan is the first cause, and they who claim something other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the first cause. After showing the untenability and unreliability of other systems, Srila Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Sutras, now proceeds to explain the apparent contradictions and inconsistencies in the Shruti system, because there appear to be diversities of doctrines with reference to the origin of the elements, the senses, etc. We now clearly understand that other philosophical doctrines are worthless on account of their mutual contradictions. Now suspicion may arise that the Vedantic doctrine also is equally worthless on account of its intrinsic contradictions. Therefore, a new discussion begins in order to eliminate all doubts in the Vedanta passages, which refer to creation and thereby remove the suspicion in the minds of the readers. In Padas 3 and 4, the apparent contradiction in Shruti texts are beautifully harmonized and reconciled. The arguments of the opponents, Purva Pakshin, who attempt to prove the self-contradiction of the scriptural texts, are given first. Then comes the refutation by the Siddhantin. This pada is challenged by diverse schools, majorly by the Nayakas, Vaisheshikas, and Shankyites, and minorly by the Purva Mimamsakas and Advaitins. The third part of the second adhyaya principally deals with two major subject matters, namely, one, the order of creation as is taught in Shruti of the five primal elements, namely Akash, air, fire, water, ether, and two, creation of Jiva. It discusses debatable questions such as whether the elements have an origin or not, whether they are co-eternal with Brahman or issue from it and are withdrawn into it at stated intervals. In effect, the truth will be made known that the various elements of the material world are manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they merge into Him at the end. Okay. Additionally, the opening sutra, Vedanta Sutra 112, Janmadhyasyayataha, confirms that the Lord is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the worlds. Hence, Brahman is the fountainhead. Being the origin, it was as well previously established in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.14. Karanatvena chakashadishu yata vyapadishtok tehe, that the Lord is without origin, yet He is the foundation, the primeval source for other gross and subtle manifestations.
Who are these Siddhantins?
Siddhantins. Oh, your question was the one yesterday, how to become Siddha?
No.
Well, that was your friend. Oh.
Friend's friend.
Okay.
So he was also quoting a friend who wanted to become friend.
I see. I'm not sure. I mean, means it'd have to be someone who's well established in cooking. So whether they have Michelin stars or not, that I can't say. But they'd have to be well recognized. Right? You couldn't just have anybody, you know, like the chaiwala down the corner. It means he is boiling his tea, but you wouldn't necessarily call him that with the perfection of boiling. No? But then in Bengal, you also get a different approach to this whole aspect of the of Siddha, mm-hmm. is that they can take an eggplant as it is and put it straight on the fire without water and bring it to the point of actually being fully cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring that in, then you might have various schools within the Siddhantins. Yeah? You good? Okay. Next, the Sutrakar transacts on the topic of creation of the jiva. Jiva always existed, there not being a point in time when they were created. That the jivas have spiritual bodies full of knowledge. That the jivas are atomic in size, although by their consciousness they are all pervading within the material body, and are involved in the performance of activities. That the jivas are part and parcel of Brahman, and that the jivas can really never equal the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or any of his avatars. These all will be proved by refuting the ideas of all those who claim that these statements are untrue. In essence, Pada 3 refutes all objections against the Vedanta tenets on the topic of creation of jara jivatmana, matter of jiva, matter or jiva, and establishes beyond a doubt that Brahman is the source of matter and jiva. Footnote 1.
Whose doubt is that? Brahman is the source of matter in jiva.
Yeah, it means basically all the schools.
But we say it is.
Yes.
That's our claim, and they are against it.
Yes, because remember before, they are always trying to, what was discussed before, was that they're always trying to establish Pradhan as the source of the creation, or the living entity as the source of creation, or...
Material.
Yeah. It's something other than God. And so, because they have ideas, since Brahman can't change, and since the material world changes, then by cause and effect, then that would mean Brahman would have to be changeable, so therefore Brahman can't be the cause. You know, like that. So they all have this idea, because if the only knowledge you have about Brahman, which is all you can have from the material platform, is the eternalness and unchangingness of Brahman, then since that's all the farther they can appreciate, then other levels they won't understand. So it's beyond that point. Only Vaishnavism can teach you. These others, they actually can't know. So that's why they'll always come up with their funny arguments. Just they have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inherent necessity. Okay, in the footnote. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur establishes the Lord of the origin of elements of material creation and the jiva. Jiva to, jada to, vapi, bhagavan sarvavad pritak. Tan nao bhagavato bhin nao rahasyam idam evahi. So that means the Belgians aren't the origin of Edom. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally different from the individual souls and from matter. However, the souls and matter are not different from Bhagavan. This is a great secret. Right? So they don't have an existence separate from Brahman. But Brahman is still different from them. That's the point. Krishna is in everything, and everything's in him, but at the same time, he is different from everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because it is a secret to fail to understand.
Yeah. Well, because Krishna doesn't reveal, because in the material consciousness, they can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Because even if you tell, it doesn't mean that they'll understand it. So this is an amazing secret, that even if you hear about the secret, you still don't understand the secret. Yeah. how you say, like that, how you say, that success theory. Even you hear about the secret, you still don't understand the secret.
Something kind of an open secret, they say.
Yes. Yeah, but still, it won't be a
secret of the universe.
Yes, but you still won't know.
So, if we say the great secret is God,
Yeah.
And then nobody understands that.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, he's God, not us. It's a great secret. What?
A new thing.
Yeah, something new. Yeah, something new. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally different from the individual souls and from matter. However, the souls and matter are not different from Bhagavan. This is a great secret. In the form of his potency, he has entered the individual souls and the material world. Unable to understand this secret, Vyas, who had revealed and carefully studied all the scriptures, wept. Then Narada, who was a great devotee of Bhagavan, approached Vyas and taught him the four verses that are the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. That heart of Srimad Bhagavatam teaching is divided into four parts, Gyan, Vigyan, Rahasya, and Taranga. In the first part, Gyan, Bhagavan teaches, I am the only supreme truth before anything else existed. I existed in the beginning of this material world. Neither the chain of causes and effects nor the impersonal Brahman, which lies beyond them, were openly manifest in this world. When the material world is created, I manifest by my potency whatever exists, and when the material world is annihilated, only I, Bhagavan, will remain. In this way, Bhagavad Gyana, knowledge of Bhagavan, is explained. In the second part, Vijnana part, Bhagavan teaches, quote, I am the supreme truth when the souls perceive only what is outside of me, when they cannot perceive my true character, that is because of the influence of my potency. That potency is called by the name Maya. When it is manifested in spirit, that potency is called Yogamaya. So when it's in matter, it's called Maya. When it's in the spiritual, then it's called Yogamaya. My potency is eternally different from me and not different from me. How it is not different from me is not easily seen. How it is different from me is easily seen. It is different from me in two ways. As a reflection, abhasa, and as darkness, tama. That's why I said the reflection and darkness, because it means those two aspects. Here, abhasa refers to the individual spirit souls, and tama refers to the material world. Thus, the individual spirit souls and the material world are both my potencies. That should be shown. In the third part, the Rahasya part, Bhagavan teaches the Pradhan, Mahatattva, and the material elements, beginning with earth, enter the material world, and at the same time they do not enter. In the same way, I, Bhagavan, the spiritual son, enter the individual spirit souls, but still I am different from them eternally. When an individual spirit soul becomes my devotee, then I become his friend. That is the great secret. In the fourth part, Taranga, Bhagavan teaches, when tormented by the sufferings of the world of birth and death, an individual soul takes shelter of the feet of saintly devotees and inquires of a saintly devotee and inquires from him about the spiritual truth. Then, by a spiritual master's mercy, that soul searches for me directly and indirectly. Eventually, he attains me. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam explains the truth of Achintabheda-Veda Tattva, the inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference of Bhagavan and the individual spirit souls. Tattva Vivek 1.6.
So, Maharaj, these four parts correspond to the four shlokas?
Yes.
One part, one shloka.
Yes, one, in the order that they're that they're coming. Yes.
Is it the same thing with the Shatru Shloka for Bhagavad Gita?
It appears so. Yeah. I'd have to look at it exactly. Because here, as you see, there's two, the two on Sambandha, then there's the Prayojana, then Avideya. So it's not in that order. Because then that I noticed the other day is that the, because we always put Sankarshat, I mean, Sabhanavideya Prayojana, because that's just a logical way of looking at it. But the point is for the mind, the mind's dealing with it, and that it actually goes to Prayojana Abhideya last. Because only if the goal looks interesting, then you make plans.
Yes.
You know? So then in Prabhupada's analysis of Bhagavad Gita, the order there is actually the same. It has the first two, then it has the third one, it's the Prayojana, then it goes to Abhideya. Like that.
First two?
Mm-hmm. First two are Samanta.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it just means the because Prabhupada's analysis of Gita has four parts. Like that. And so then, in that, he's put it in this order. But for our study guide, we put it into the Samanta, Abhideya, and Prayojana.
Yes.
But when I was reading it the other day, it actually runs more smoothly when you put it in that, put the Prayojana the first, then Abhideya, because then it's all explained nicely.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, my God, we may have to switch those two. Well, he's pointing at you. Looks like you have some work to do.
I guess so. Okay. Talk over breakfast.
Would you say they're interchangeable?
Means it's just a matter of which way you want to put it. I mean, Samanda, unless you know what you're dealing with, you can't. Now, it's either about, it means to get the goal, you have to know the plan that you can get it. But at the same time, is to be inspired to apply yourself, you need to know what the goal is.
So they can go both ways.
It works either way. It doesn't matter.
Can we say it's a matter of whether there are attachments or not?
Yes, it means if yes, attachments. But also, you could just a matter of, once you understand about it, then you can deal with the two that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you're logically going, you go Samanda, Abhideya, and Prayojana, because that's how things are applied. Because even in doing this, all that order that happened there is happening in Samanda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because only after that all four are appreciated, then you want to apply it. So then when you actually apply it, that's Abhideya. Then you'll get the Prayojana. But in contemplation, in Samanda, then you'll think of your position, what's the ultimate, the purpose. Then seeing that, now you're interested. But even Prabhupada even shows, as you start off with the attitude, then that gives you the goal. Then you're interested in the actual subject matter, which is the Sankarshan aspect. Then you'll go to the application. So you'll the mind will actually go, Prajumna Aniruddha Sankarshan, and then Vasudeva. So that's why it's just easier to go, Vasudeva, you know, just put it in the order. Does that make sense? When you're analyzing it, you see it just in its technical order. But in application, it'll go through all these different things.
Yes.
Right? So, if the Sankarshan aspect, naturally you can relate to it, then you go into the natural, what's the mood, and then what's the result, and all this. But if not, then at least if you start with the right attitude, then seeing what the result is, now you become interested in the subject matter. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say we hear the philosophy, and somebody, you know, appreciates that. You know, then and there, then that means then the attitude's already is there. Right? So that's the whole point. But someone hears it and they think, why do we have to learn all this? So the attitude's not there, so they can't actually go any further. But now if you point out the goal and all that, then maybe it'll catch it there. But yeah.
So can we say right?
Mm-hmm.
That when we speak in Sambandha, these ones, they will go normal. But when we switch into Abhideya part, then it will switch.
Well, Abhideya means you're actually applying it. Right? So that's why then in means we'll talk about those four aspects, but in application you actually have six, because you'll have the aspect of two of them will be the contemplation of it, right? But things like, you know, your identity and all that, and those are fixed. That's all the more there is of them. somebody says. You can apply that, but that's what the Abhideya is. But now you apply all that knowledge in this Abhideya, but you have to have contemplated Abhideya before you're going to apply it.
Yes.
You know, it just makes it work easier. You know, like if you contemplate what are you going to do,
yes,
then you do it. It goes so much easier than if you just go in there, you know, how you say?
First do it, then contemplate.
Yes, I say.
We do it until we contemplate.
Yes, yes, going in with guns blazing and find out, just like that. I think one of the sheikhs, his hobby was, you know, from the westerns, that, you know, the six shooters. So he'd always walk around with one of those, and he was like, he may have been like the fastest draw, you know, in the world at the time. And being a sheikh, of course, it can't be just there. It has to have something in it, right? So then, somehow or another, at some point, his son scared him. You know, by whatever it is, by accident, and the sheikh shot him because he could draw and shoot quicker than he could think.
Yeah.
Damn it. Damn it.
Yeah, that was one of those. Oh. I'm not sure if after that he hung up his guns or. Yeah.
Would be something to consider.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're thinking first, then it goes very nice. So it's just a matter of these are all there, then when you apply it, you put it what you like. It's just like you have a recipe. And the recipe has a particular order, but then you might change the order of what you do something just to make it work nicely. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, you could take the pot, put in some ghee, fry the vegetables a bit, take them out of the pot, right? Then make the chaunce. You know, whatever it is, other things like that, make the sauces and all that, then put them back in, and you know, this and that. Or you could be doing that, the sauce in one, and then frying the vegetables in the other if you want to save time. Or you have more pots or more fires.
More
pot. Hmm?
More cooking.
Yeah, you know, so like that. So then, it's just a matter of you make adjustments is what's actually going to apply. So, we know all the parts, and then you apply them. But in here we see is that there seems to be a habit. Now you have a pattern here.
Yes.
Like that. Yes.
Right, so in the beginning we follow the standard Sambandha Vidhaya.
Yes, yes, yes.
And because to establish that, it takes actually quite some time.
Yes.
And then devotees, they can shift the position and understand
yes.
what's the principle.
Yes, yes.
Because if we tell them too much, they're completely
confused. No. You just stick to the one, but that's the difficulty. Is that when you do come up to the, you know, various applications,
yes.
then there's confusion for a while.
Yes.
You know, that's always anytime there's an adjustment, there's a confusion.
Yes. But seems that Jiva Goswami, he follows, you know, with the Sandarbhas, he follows the same order.
Yes, I mean, it means if you're looking at the logical aspect, then you just go Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. But to apply it, you're using the mind.
Yeah.
So that's why then that order will change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because you know the goal, therefore you apply. So it's not that it's you can also reconcile the two in that generally when we're talking about it, we're talking about Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana within Sambandha. Means the contemplation.
Yeah.
Because as soon as we add in then actual application, then the devotees get confused. There's two Abhideyas, two Prayojanas.
Right.
And it says, yeah, there's the thought about Abhideya, and then there's the actual performed. Then there's the thought about goal, and then the realized goal.
Yes.
Right? So at that point, how that, you know, three turns into four, turns into six, then starts to, you know, yeah.
It starts spinning.
Yeah, what is it? That's 3, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate?
Right. This is what we are doing since a few years.
Yes, yes. And you see, as we're still, when it comes up, what?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So then you can also look at it that there is the aspect of the proper, the proper application. So when you're talking about it, you know, from in just that it's in its regular order, then you could be means sambandha and prayojan. You can talk about all the contemplation is already there in sambandha. Then you go to abhideya, then there's prayojana, which is the natural form. But then when you're looking at the contemplation, getting the mind to accept it, then you can change that order. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of whether they're looking at the overall or we're looking at the intellectual process of it. So there's no contradiction in them. You know. Because one is the mind is working, but at the same time as you have to actually apply it. Application means the senses. Senses are controlled by the intelligence. So then that's why then that aspect is there. Right? And so when you look at that, that's how then you get the prajumna is abhideya. Does that make sense?
Prajumna is abhideya.
Or it may make sense, but not in my head.
No, it doesn't make sense.
No, okay. I was thinking, okay, let's see how this one goes. You know, you're talking about, yeah, first, that. Huh? Okay. Since Vasudev has all the means, Shankarshan, Prajumna, Adi Ruda, then they each have their particular nature, their qualities. And then Vasudev is the Leela avatar. He produces all of those to apply into pastimes.
Yeah.
And Shankarshan, Prajumna, Adi Ruda support those pastimes by bringing in these aspects into the field.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So then if you're looking at Vasudev from this point of actual application, then you're going to put Vasudev in abhideya. Right?
Yeah.
And then Sankarshana and Prajumna and Sambandha and Aniruddha in Prayojana. Right?
Yeah.
But if we're looking at the theoretical aspect, where we're saying the contemplation of Sambandha, because we say that Vasudev has the qualities of the others, that's a Sambandha consideration.
Yeah.
Then he's going to apply that in his pastimes and get the, you know, resultant prema exchange between him and the devotees.
Yeah.
Right? So now, in the Sambandha aspect, since for him to act, it has to have all three parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the theory. So that means Sankarshan is the Sambandha part. Prajumna is the Abhideya part, because the senses are being applied and he is the Lord of the Intelligence, is therefore the one there. And Aniruddha is the Prayojana. Because of the experience that'll be gained there in the mind.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But that you're going to have a goal and you're going to focus on that, then we see Aniruddha as the overall false ego. Because that's what all the things that have to be in place for you to go for that goal. But to experience it, that will be then from that side of the mind. Right? And to apply it into the application, then the intelligence is there. But he says the total mind, that means the mind and all the operations that are there. So the intelligence being that central point of application, you know, through the senses, but it's the mind that's choosing it. Therefore, he's the total mind. Right? If you're not talking total, then we break it up how we're used to it. But if you take the total, then you have the totality of jivas, totality of mind, and totality of false ego. Right? And that way you also get the, you know, ignorance, goodness, and passion. You know? So.
Yeah.
So you just, depending on what you're bringing out, then you'll put the order. Does that make sense? So, generally we're talking about it in that practical application. Right, so that just comes in this nice order. But when you're talking about just the contemplation aspect of Sambandha, then you see orders adjust. So it's just a matter of which point you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like if you're intellectualizing on something, your orders can adjust around as you're thinking about them. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But when you go to apply it, it has to be in a proper order. Mm-hmm. So you intellectualize or contemplate until you get it where it actually now falls into the natural order. You know, when you go, okay, but that goal, so then we can do this, that, and that looks like, but what about this, and that. When he's got it, okay, so to get that goal, then we have this process, you know, because we're here, we'll do this, we can do that, and, you know, then it's in its order, then you can apply it. So, work? Okay.
Till the next time.
Till the next time, yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But can we say also that this, all of them can stay in their own parts, as we usually do, and saying there are six, we say that we have to always keep the sambandha part, because if we know the sambandha, then we know the goal, and then we know how.
Yes, yes, we know.
But to do that, it's like with the, we used to say that there was, should be one point of faith to go to the each next step. In those, you know, from Shraddha to Prema, that we used to say that faith is essential.
Yes, yes, the essential.
So Shraddha always added as a unit. So can we say the same thing, that we always have to have some bandha to be in, to apply and to have the proper goal. So they should always be there. In this sense, we can also say there are six in this sense.
That yeah, because having got those four in sambandha, that you're convinced of that, then you can apply it as the fifth and get the result as the sixth.
Yeah.
It's just that there's this overlap. Because we're used to just these very clear distinctions, no overlap, but the point is everything overlaps.
Yes.
So you're giving the distinctions so that you can understand them, but when you apply it, they overlap.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So you have to know the overlap.
But when you apply, everything comes together.
So yes, because it's all going together at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all should be present, otherwise it's not going to be complete.
Yes, no, all of them have to be there. It's just a matter of when you go in and contemplate how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the order you're going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, the Prabhupada points out, if you can get people to at least accept the right attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, you logically explain why that attitude, then with that attitude, then they can make it all work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like that. Mm.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
So the right attitude is like the basis of everything.
Yes, yes. That's why they taught Vini Pranipatena.
Mm.
You know, the Pranipata and Pari Prashna, that means the attitude's right. Then only there's seva. Because otherwise, you see, if the attitude's not right, there's no application.
This means that if, for example, it's difficult to understand something, we need to focus on the attitude.
Yes, that we have the faith in it. Because sometimes that doesn't make sense to me, it can't be true.
Yes.
So that's the wrong attitude, you'll never understand it. Because since it's Krishna who's revealing himself, then unless you have faith, then why would he reveal himself? Because he doesn't reveal himself where there's a lack of faith.
Yes.
So we have to adjust the attitude, this idea that, you know, that's why we speak so much on the idea of being intelligent.
Yeah.
And because of that, I can understand Krishna, when it has nothing to do with intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why then those from an intelligent background or an intelligent identity may have problem with parts of the philosophy that don't seem to be logical, that appear, that's what we're going to deal with in here, that appear to be contradictory.
Yes.
And because of that, then
yes,
you know,
yes.
so these kind of things are made all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be clear about that, convinced about that this is how it's given in the Shastra, it must be true. This is what is given by the spiritual master, must be true. Now, how to understand that, then that means that there has to be that submissive inquiry. Because if it's a challenging mood, then you can challenge all you want, but challenge doesn't mean that you get an answer. Because you generally see those who are always challenged never get the answers they're looking for. Because the answer they want is the one that they already have.
Yeah.
They're not looking to be. So it's not about actually understanding. It's about they don't understand why you're not thinking the way they're thinking.
Yes. It's actually a tamasic way of trying to establish your own point.
Yeah.
Because it's destructive and it's not,
not
bringing.
Yeah. It's not, yeah.
Yes.
So it's not actual real inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thought maybe in the modern kind of context, especially in the media, that this aggressive, challenging, you know, spirit brings out the truth. But the point is, if truth is only facts, then why is it that people base their life not necessarily on facts? Right? It's what their feelings and their attachments and their needs. Right? Then at the same time is that it doesn't necessarily work good, because unless somebody's very cool-headed, they won't even be able to give the facts under such pressure. So the point is if you can get someone to say something that doesn't make sense, so it looks like they're wrong and they're emotional at the same time, bingo, you have a winner. People want to see that. They're willing to pay for that. Right? So it's just a... Yeah, you say it's a form of entertainment that you're willing to, you know, pay some attention to, and that they can make profit off of. Because if it was real, then why is it the next day now it changes? So it's just another form of entertainment. Just, you know, for those who like to, you know the facts like that.
And so what facts are relevant are decided on the basis of how much fun you can have with that.
Yeah, because otherwise if there's no fun, then
why do it?
Yeah, then why would you get involved?
So it's possible in the mold of ignorance.
Yes. It's just they don't care to know. You know, and there's a touch of passion so that their channel makes money.
That's driving it, yeah.
Yeah, like that. But it's not, they'll present it that, you know, we're just intellectuals looking for the truth. And what do you call them? Investigative journalists.
Oh, yeah, investigative journalists.
Yeah. And so that they go out and investigate and find out the real facts. You know, that nobody cares, and they go out and find out how this big corporation's, you know, doing this and, you know, like that. And so it, as long as you can keep that up, then they make money.
But it's not actually about the corporation or about...
No, it's just
people affected by
it. It's not that they're like this, because it's like the journalist will do this whole big expose on the superficiality and the, you know, billions and billions of dollar business about let's say Valentine's Day, you know, about the flowers and the chocolates and this. But when Valentine's Day comes, they will buy flowers, they will buy chocolates, because despite the facts. You know, like that. He doesn't buy, then there's going to be the fact that someone's going to be upset.
It's happening right now with Christmas. So many videos of, oh, it's too materialistic and it's just a hoax and it's just, and everyone's out buying presents.
Yeah,
they all agree with this, you know. But
it's just, you know, it's an excuse for buying presents. Yeah. That's all. You know, just the birthday and the anniversary is already enough. You know, why do we have to have another one?
But that's why Dostoevsky, he says that the greatest truth is the truth that makes the person who preaches very enthusiastically about something. Straight after the preaching finishes, he goes on and do exactly the opposite thing that he was just preaching. Nobody should do. So he says this is the greatest reality.
Okay, means that, yeah. Okay.
So like Krishna says in Gita, last.
Driving everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. <He's> still here.
I was thinking on this point that Pradyumna is an origin of Kamadeva.
Yes.
But we don't meditate on Kamadeva as Pradyumna. We meditate on Kamadeva as Krishna.
Yes.
So what's the connection? I can't understand.
Means that potency of Krishna, that is there in Kamadeva. You know, just like any of his other potencies, it's there in the material world to make it function. But it just, it doesn't have the potency like what he has. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like his potency to create then is invested in Brahma. But he's the original creator.
Right.
You know, in the same way as he's the original Kamadeva, but that potency is then invested in the Devata, Kamadev to perform this activity. Right, because people want to be attracted, therefore then there has to be someone taking care of that. Right. Because if you leave it up to just anybody to come along with a bow and arrow and shoot, then they might not. They're busy doing something else. So this guy is dedicated to that service. And you want to, this is just a fun that just struck me right now, is that who shoots the arrows? Means, right, in the paintings. Right? You have Kamadev, but what form is he in? He's a cherub, right? There's little kids. You know, generally they're not wearing anything, right?
Yeah.
Like that. Now the demigod, he comes from, he's an expansion of, I think, Sanat Kumar, of the four Kumaras. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Interesting, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, he has that potency. So Prajumna, then you see Sanat Kumar down to the demigod. But Prajumna is the original. And that point comes from Krishna. So Krishna has all these aspects in him. And whatever is the, you know, the nice, the sweet and all that, that's what he manifests. And anything else that's more needs arranging, then that through Balaram, then Sankarshan, Prajumna, Adiruddha, they take care of.
So when we chant our Gayatri, we meditate on Krishna, it's not Prajumna.
No, it's Krishna. Because Prajumna is simply an aspect of Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, because he has that aspect, the four aspects of his personality. Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Prashanta, Dhiro Lata, and Dhiro Datta.
Yeah.
And so they'll also match those four deities.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's just a matter of which mood is at which time. So in Braj, then it's just a matter of his desire, and that's all. Everything else is, all the other aspects are serving. Right? But then those personalities have their predominant place also. So as you go out, then these formal elements then become, have their own position. So it's, in other words, the jnana and kriya shaktis by those, you know, means, you know, how you say, Balaram and Vasudev, when those become more prominent, then that brings up the aspect of majesty, you know, of respect for God. Right? But with Krishna, then it's a matter of, that brings out the sweetness as the prominence. Right? Not that there's not sweetness in these others, it's just not prominent. Right? When you think of Vaikuntha, it's majesty first, and then sweetness within that.
Yes.
And but Braj is sweetness, and you don't even notice the majesty, even though it's there.
Yes.
Right, so in other words, sweetness is much greater.
Yes. So can we say that the Jagannath Puri, although it's its own place, it's a part of Dwarka, actually?
It's a part of Dwarka, because where's the pastime taking place?
In Dwarka.
Yes.
Kurukshetra also.
Kurukshetra, like also saying.
Means Jagannath was Jagannath form manifested because of that, from Kurukshetra that gopis were entered.
I couldn't hear.
He says, Jagannath manifest from the gopis taking him to Vrindavan.
Like, where is the Rathyatra?
Subhadra.
He was telling the story.
He was telling the story.
Not him, Rohini.
Rohini was telling the story.
The story to the queen about Krishna's pastime.
No, didn't hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? You've heard that one. Yes. So.
It's only Rathayatra.
Means when we're talking about a place, stick to the discussion on the place. Okay? So, the whole point is that the Dwarkavasis have gone to Kurukshetra. Because they're going to be there, then the Brajavasis go to meet them.
Yes.
Right? So now, the you could say the overall environment is Dwarka.
Yes.
But then the Brajavasis are there in Dwarka. Right? And so then Krishna's there. And the point is, in Goloka, Krishna always identifies as, he doesn't identify as different personalities. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he is Krishna who is in Vrindavan, who's now in Dwarka. So, but the point is how the Brajvasis would deal with him in that informal way in Vrindavan, you can't do in Dwarka. Because all the Dwarkavasis, you know, just it's a formal environment.
Yeah.
So that's Jagannath Puri.
But it's not that the form of Krishna changes. He's still Shyamasundara. He's not Jagannath as such.
No. But then that particular form is then that Krishna hearing about the Vrindavan pastimes,
yeah,
then the ecstasy they take. But my point is the place of Puri is where you're with Krishna but at the same time not with Krishna.
Yeah.
Because in Navadvip, you're with Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Navadvip is Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you go to Puri, then Jagannath is Dwarka Krishna. But is Dwarka Krishna in the relationship with the Brajavasis?
Yeah.
Therefore, then, the feeling of separation can be tasted, and Navadvip can't be tasted as much. Because it's the same as Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because separated from the person is separation, but being with the person and not being able to interact, that's a greater separation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you're somewhere, there's no food, you're hungry. That's a problem. But if you're right there and there's this glass window and fabulous food right there, but you can't get at it, that's even more of a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, this example makes sense.
Okay, yes, yes. That's why it's considered higher. That's why you'll see the devotees will leave Vrindavan and go to Puri or come here or like this. Because it just increases the mood of separation. So, you know, so if they're there, they come here, and if they're here, they go to Puri. Like that. But, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur Vrinda ki.